Good morning, everybody.
It is a good morning. We're grateful that you are with us this morning. We are excited to be sharing together again with you. Let me make one plug or a couple of plugs. We hope that you'll come back and be with us tonight. We have a special worship service the last Sunday night of every year, and we will do that again this year. And then we will immediately go to the fellowship hall and spend some time together. So we hope that you'll be back with us tonight and hope that you'll share in that family activity tonight. Let's have a word of prayer together again. Ask God to bless our time specifically, and then we will jump in and we'll study some. Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful for every opportunity that we have to share together. We're grateful for your word. We're thankful for the opportunity to work in the word together this morning. Father, we pray that you would bless us. Father, I pray that you would bless Mark, that you would bless me, that the words that we speak would be your words. We pray that the Holy Spirit would speak through us, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, Mark told a Paul Harvey story, right? My favorite Paul Harvey story is a story about a little boy and some chocolate chip cookies. Paul Harvey told this story that there was this little boy who was going into the grocery store with his mom. And like most little boys going into the store, it was always an experience for mama and for everybody else because he always wanted everything that he saw. And so mama preached a sermon to that boy before they went into the store. Don't ask for chocolate chip cookies. We're getting a couple of things for supper. We're getting a couple of things for your dad and for your brother. We are not getting chocolate chip cookies, so don't ask. The little boy said, okay. So they started going to the store. And as most little boys do, did he listen to mama? No. He said, mama, can I get some chocolate chip cookies? And she said, stop. He said, mama, can I get some chocolate chip cookies? And she said, quit it. We're not getting chocolate chip cookies. I've already told you, quit asking. So he got louder. Mama, can we get some chocolate chip cookies? She said, son, zip it. We are not getting chocolate chip cookies. He stands up in the shopping cart, and at the top of his lungs, as loud as he possibly can, he says, in the name of Jesus, can we get some chocolate chip cookies up in here? Harvey said he wasn't sure if Jesus really helped this boy or if everybody just felt convicted, but that little boy left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies because everybody who heard gave him a box of chocolate chip cookies. You do not have because you do not ask, right? How many of us would say that we have everything that we want, spiritually speaking? How many of us could possibly say that within the context of our spiritual lives, we have everything that we want? We've said before, and we're going to say again plenty of times in the next several weeks, but I want you to know the conviction that I have, that I think the Lord himself, through the Holy Spirit, has kind of put on my heart for us to kind of think about over the next several weeks is this. The only thing out of the reach of prayer is something out of the will of God. The only thing out of the reach of prayer is something out of the will of God. And many times we do not have because we do not ask. I want to read with you a text in Acts chapter 4. And I want to show you. There's a lot of stuff in the book of Acts that is miraculous. A lot of stuff that theologians and Bible scholars and preachers would say was specific to the first century. But I want you to know that what I'm about to read is not specific to the first century. This is dealing with the work of prayer, and this is what the text says in verse 23 of Acts chapter 4. When they were released, Peter and John, the apostles in prison, when they were released, They went to their friends and reported what the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness.'" This is what they've just prayed. God, everything that happened is what you wanted to happen, and we pray that you would make us more bold, verse 30, "while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Now, this is what I want you to know. "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." Now, maybe the floor wouldn't literally shake, but I believe that if God's people came together, united under a common purpose, and said, "God, everything that you've wanted to happen has happened. We trust that you are going to make us all the more bold," God would say yes to that prayer. And it may not physically shake, but we could shake this community. We could shake our world. We could shake our families. How many of us can say everything that we want to experience spiritually is what we are experiencing? When I was in Israel last year, probably the most formative experience that I had was at this place. And this is the Wailing Wall. This is the most holy place in all of Judaism. This is the place where people come to just approach the wall, which is the closest place they can get to where the Holy of Holies was, and they pray. And there were thousands of people at this place praying all at one time. And I remember feeling this sensation that as I looked at this place and experienced this place, that after all, as all of these people were praying, some silently, some somberly, some out loud, some very excited, that it's an awful lot easier to think about prayer and to talk about prayer than it is to actually pray. Do you know what I mean? It's really easy, I think, for us to think about prayer and to say, "God, we believe in prayer," than it is to actually pray. So this morning, we want to talk to you about why it is that we pray. And we want you to feel convicted as we start this new series for the next several weeks, that prayer is the way.
Prayer empowers us for ministry. When I saw the picture that John had put on that slide, it took me back many years ago to the same place. And one of the things that impressed me, the reverence there at that wall, but also that when you approach the wall, the women have a section they can go to, men have a separate section. They don't mix men and women in the same section of prayer. But when you approach that wall that dates back, that part of the wall, probably to the first century, every crevice of every crack of every joint of every stone is crammed full of pieces of paper. And people have written their personal pleas and requests to God on that piece of paper. They've recorded their prayers. And that's one of the things that we're going to sort of challenge you to do. You know, we have God's Word inspired through the Holy Spirit. And throughout the next few weeks, we'll be looking at prayers that God has given us through His Word. So a written prayer can be very, very important. So as we begin looking at power for ministry, we understand that physically that you cannot live for one single period of time without water. We had a little excitement last Sunday morning. I didn't know about after services, but Kayla got a phone call from her grandmother, Meemaw, that's come to me. She's sick. And so she gets to her, and my mom was very, very sick. She had gotten dehydrated through the night. She'd been sick, gotten dehydrated. So she had to go to the ambulance ride to the hospital. She was very, very sick. But putting some fluids in her, she was able to go home that day, because when you get dehydrated, your body doesn't work. You know that. You've been sick enough, you've known that. So we have to have water in which to live, but spiritually, we have to have prayer in which to have a spiritual life. And when our spiritual life is devoid of prayer, we don't have a very healthy spiritual life. Prayer is what equips us for ministry. Prayer is what equips the church. Prayer is what equips us spiritually. In fact, Psalm 42, we sing this sometime. As the deer pants for water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. So the psalmist knew that longing to commune with God through prayer is just like a thirsty deer wanting a drink of water from a cool spring. That it's something that restores us. That something provides us life. It's something that gives us spiritual well-being. So that's why it's so important for us as we begin approaching this year to ask us to corporately commit to prayer, to corporately get behind the idea that we will invest in prayer. From the earliest days in the church's history, prayer was a critical part of ministry. In fact, one of the earliest challenges the church faced was that were widows within the church, the Grecian widows, who were really struggling with their daily needs. And they brought the problem before the elders, and the elder says, well, you know, this is a real problem. What we need for you to do is to solve the problem within yourselves, within the church. In fact, we read in Acts chapter 4 that they were told, Acts chapter 6, they were told, seek out among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may point over this business, that we may give ourselves continually to prayer, the ministry of the word. Now, if you read Acts' account, this is a church that was growing by leaps and bounds. This is a church that grew on the basis of prayer. In fact, the apostle said, listen, we cannot even take a break from prayer to meet this very legitimate great need within the church. We need to commit ourselves to this. In fact, prayer opens doors and removes obstacles for ministry. In fact, Paul even specifically asked the church Colossae to pray for them, to contend earnestly in prayer, be vigilant and with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying for us that God would open to us a door for the word. I don't know. I mean, we can't help but reflect on 2017, on the eve of a new year. I don't know if it was good for you. I don't know if it was bad for you. I don't know if you think, hey, it was the best year of my life, or you say, hey, it was the worst year of my life. But you know what? You're blessed with another year. And we're on the cusp of yet another year, 2018. And there may be personal obstacles in your life that you wish God to open a door for you. You've hit against the same thing over and over again, and you're just not where you want to be. And maybe this is what you can need to commit personally to God. There may be things within the body of Christ here that we're aware of that we need to move forward in reaching lives to people more deeply through the discipleship and more broadly through evangelism. But if we commit ourselves to prayer, there is no telling what God can accomplish, both in our personal lives, in our spiritual lives, in our lives as a church family. You know, prayer to God can still shake and move the world.
So why pray? Maybe you've had a kid that's asked you that question before. Why pray? I had a professor in college who was preaching, and I went and visited a place one evening with him. And he was preaching about the power of prayer. And that with just a word, Jesus can heal. And Jesus can touch, and Jesus can move, and Jesus can shake. And so we seek to be connected to that power. And this kind, I think well-intentioned, older brother came up to him after the lesson and he said, "You don't really believe that. You don't really believe that God works that way anymore." And the professor said, "No, sir, I do. I absolutely believe that God works in the world and that God can move and God can shake and God can bring about things when His people ask." And the old guy said, "I don't know how you could possibly believe that." And he said, "Let me ask you a question, brother." He said, "Why do we pray? If you don't believe that, why do you pray? I'm assuming that you pray because you're a nice, kind man. Why do you pray if you don't believe God will still do?" And the man said what I think a lot of us may be afraid to say with our mouths, but said what a lot of us probably deep down believe. And that is, we pray simply because the Bible tells us we have to. And the professor, the whole way home, fumed a little bit and talked a lot about why prayer is far more than just something we are supposed to do. Namely, because prayer is the power for ministry, but also because it is in prayer. It is in that relationship, in that connection, where you have a connection to a Father in heaven who loves you. When Jesus gives the model prayer, He says, "I want you to pray like this." And the first words out of Jesus' mouth, the first word out of His mouth is Abba. And it is the Greek word that is very personal and very very connected to God. And it's the word that we get the word daddy from, translated into our modern language. Jesus didn't say "our Father." He didn't say "Creator God." He said "Abba," and He said it on purpose because He wanted everyone who was listening, and now us, everybody who is reading that text, to believe that when you pray, before you say a word, you have a Father in heaven who loves and who cares, who is concerned about the things that you are concerned about. So we pray because it's the fuel and the power for ministry and evangelism and discipleship in the world. But we also pray because we believe that it connects us to our Father. And I believe that the more that we know this Father, the more that we trust this Father who loves and cares and rebukes and guides and works on your behalf in the world, the bigger prayers we would pray. If you look back over the history of your life and you think specifically within the context of your prayer life, would you be able to Would you be able to say that the prayers that you pray are big and bold? As we embark on a new year and as we think about how it is that we can engage in this relationship with God, as we think about how we can engage the world through our prayers, let me challenge you this way. What is it that you could pray for right now, on behalf of your family, on behalf of this church, or on behalf of this community that only God could do? Those are the kind of prayers that we ought to be praying. When we invite God into our lives to do what only He can do,
What is it that we can pray for, that you can pray for your family, for this church, and for this community, that if God doesn't do, isn't going to get done? That we can partner with Him, that we can invite Him into this place with us and say, God, we want you to do this. We need you to do this. And if you don't do whatever this is, then it can't happen because we can't do it on our own power. Those are the kinds of prayers that we should be praying. Those are the kinds of prayers that God is inviting us to pray because He wants the world won and because He is our Father. The more we know this Father, the bigger prayers we pray.
August the 1st, 1975. Doesn't mean anything to anyone else probably here, unless that happens to be your birthday or something. Many of you weren't even born yet. But it was a very important day for me. I came to know Jesus in a very personal way. I was attending a gospel meeting at Mack Bream Chapel Church of Christ. I cannot remember who the preacher was. But I knew before the invitation was sung that that would be the night I'd put Jesus on in baptism. And I stepped forward and I was baptized into Jesus Christ that night. Decision I'd never questioned. A decision I was always happy I made. But as for most folks, we get lost along the way. I'm thankful I was raised in church, had a lot of good spiritual mentors around me. But, you know, we do things as teenagers growing up that we're not always real proud of, things that we're not, we know we're not for Christ. So I was about 18, 19 years old in college and really looking for direction. One reason I didn't think I belonged in college, well, my high school counselor told me I didn't belong in college for one reason. She didn't tell me I didn't have the aptitude for academic study. So that's one reason. But I went forward to church on a Sunday night. Brother Charles Lemons was the preacher. I can't even remember what the sermon was about because I knew I was going to go forward that night and ask for a specific prayer that God would direct my life. I made a decision to try to never say no to God. Maybe He'd say yes more to me. And things began happening in my life. You know, one thing happened that I wouldn't have met Tammy, I don't think, if it had been for that, because soon after that, I was offered a job to leave school and go work in a hospital. And that's where I met Tammy. And then I sort of made an agreement to God not to tell God no too often, so He'd tell yes to me. And so things began unfolding in my life. Guys, I didn't know I'd be here 26 years later. You're your preacher. And I think that decision started when I was about 18 or 19 years old to really say yes to God and try to begin to infuse God's will in my life through prayer. And so really it is the power for the person. I mean, it really is. I see that subjectively in my life and the things in my life that I can commit to prayer and the things I can commit to God and say, you know, God, this is in your hands. I had a client the other day. We were ending the session. He says, can I ask you a personal question? I said, what is it? He said, how do you do this? He said, I couldn't do what you do. I said, do what? He says, how do you sit and listen to people's problems all day long? How do you do this? And I says, well, I have a little secret that I do. And he said, what's that? I says, well, every time I sit and listen to somebody and they pour their heart out to me, either before they leave or after they leave, I say a prayer to God. And I envision myself just laying you into God's hands and the next time I see you. And I said, that's how I do this. Because God is the one who's going to work in your life and not me. And I trust God is going to take care of you until I see you again. And so we do what we can and we understand that whatever our hopes and dreams are for 2018, whatever it is, we need to understand, we need to give it to God in prayer. Some of you may be already facing physical challenges. Some of you may be facing emotional challenges. Some of you may be, you know, mental challenges, physical challenges. I don't know what it is, spiritual challenges. But whatever it is, I promise you, you can give it to God in prayer. We talked about this in Bible study class this morning. There is nothing that's important to you that is insignificant to God, no matter what it is. That we can give it to God in prayer. In fact, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. What does God leave out of everything? He said, in everything. But what does God leave out of that? Anything? When Jesus addresses that, John 14:14. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus is giving this promise to the apostles that if you just ask in my name, I will do it. But there's very often we don't even recognize even the slightest potential that we have through our prayer life. Now, some of you are already prayer warriors. Some of you dedicate a lot of your day in prayer. I know you do. Some of you live alone. In a physical sense, but not in a spiritual sense, because you spend most of your day communing with God in prayer. Reflecting on His will in your life, the will in other people's lives. You're raising people up all the time. Your children, your grandchildren, the people that you love in your life, you're raising them up to God. I know you're doing that. But for some of us, this new prayer life will become a discipline for us. It's not how we're used to rolling, if you will. It's why we're trying to put some things in your hand that John's going to talk about in just a moment to try to help discipline us toward this 40 days of prayer. If it's large or if it's small, God covers it all. You believe that, church? If it's large or if it's small, God covers it all. Peter said in a text this morning, a Bible study class, cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. That's inclusive of everything. And when I was putting this together and my part of the lesson, a quote came to me. It was by the anthropologist Margaret Mead. And she said this several years ago before her death. She studied cultures and sort of saw what happens in cultures and stuff over time. But she said this, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. A small group of people committed to change is the only thing that's ever really worked in this world. Jesus chose 12 to face the entire world, and we're here today because of those 12. 2,000 years later, we're still telling the story. 2,000 years later, we still have the gospel to share. So, as we challenge individually and collectively, as we go through the year together, commit yourself to benefit yourself because God cares for you. That this transformation that can take place in your life, just communing with God and talking to God and committing to God, everything that's in your life, will bless you in the year to come.
So we want to leave you this morning as we start with something that you can take in your own hands and something that we want to encourage as many of us that will, that we would start together tomorrow. And so if you haven't already picked up one, if you feel so inclined, right outside in the foyer in the lobby there, where the bulletins typically are, there are Netherlands 40 Days of Prayer sheets. And this is something that a couple of us have worked on for some time. One of the things that's really interesting about that model prayer, and we may spend some time in the model prayer in a couple of weeks, but one of the things that's really interesting about that prayer, I think a lot of us, when we think about prayer, we kind of get disheartened because we think that Jesus wants us to, like, devote hours and hours and hours a day to prayer. And there's, maybe you've had days like that, and those days are very special, and that's not to take away the power of lengthy prayers, but it is to say that one of the things that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 as he's encouraging people to pray is don't worry about how much you say. Don't worry so much about time. That's what the Gentiles worry about. They worry about lifting up lofty language and spending hours in prayers. Rather, go right at the heart of things and pray like this, and then he gives the model prayer. And so what we would like to do collectively with that in mind over the next 40 days is for each of us to spend just several minutes, just a couple of minutes in prayer every day, but be centered around similar things as a church body. To be praying in the same direction and asking God the same questions collectively. 12 men, a very small group of apostles and disciples in the first century, prayed that God would give them boldness, and literally the city shook. And figuratively and metaphorically the city shook. Can you imagine what we could do here at Netherlands if some of us, if all of us, committed ourselves to pray for the next 40 days? This first sheet that you can pick up today is days 1 through 20. And again, it's not going to take you very long every day. There's a scripture on each day that you can read. And then there are some suggestions that we would like for you to think about and some specific requests that we would like for you to make to God. These first 20 days are mostly about you and the Father. They're mostly about you and your heart and your spirit and your individual ministry. Days 21 through 40, which we'll put out in a couple of weeks, are going to be specific to our ministry here at Netherlands. How can we do better? How can we praise God for what we've already accomplished? So the first 20 days are about you and God. The next 20 days are about us collectively and God and what we can do in ministry. I'm excited about the next 40 days. Day one is tomorrow, January the 1st. I'm excited about the next 40 days. And if out of your love for the Father, you feel so inclined to challenge yourself for the next 40 days to join with us, there is no doubt that God is going to do something. I don't know what it is. I don't. I've got hopes, but I don't know what it is. But I'm telling you what, I've come to the point in my life where I am excited about that. Where I'm excited that I don't have all the answers. I don't know what we're going to find in the next 40 days collectively or individually. But I know this, by faith, we're going to find out something. We're going to find out something about ourselves individually, and we're going to find out something collectively as a church. What can't we do? With God, nothing. There's no doubt that there's nothing that's too big for God to do through us if we would ask. So we humbly ask you to join with us and partner with us. Pick up one of these as you go. There are places on each day for you to write down. We hope that you'll keep this because we're going to have, after day 20, we may spend a Bible class or something talking about what we found, and then we'll do it again at the end. Please partner with us.
Crossed my mind this morning as Tammy and I were getting ready to get in the car and come to church. Opened the back door and the car was already warm. We warmed the car before we got in this morning. And I thought, wow, you know, we're getting to go to church in a warm vehicle and go to a warm building. And this church is celebrating its centennial. Okay. So that meant that years ago, people came to church not under such great conveniences. But they actually had to probably get out and bundle up and get the buggy out or get the mule out or the horse out or put on some extra socks and walk to church. But they did it. And they committed themselves to it because they were called to do it. We are recipients of that benefit today. Now, I don't think that any of us would want to go backwards that way, would we? How many of you would like to just take out off on foot and walk home today just to see what it was like? Anybody? No takers today in doing that. You're wise. Sometimes we don't even treat prayer with the potential that we have like we do modern conveniences. That sometimes we just sort of want to go backwards with it a little bit and just, you know, do just like a prayer at grace at meals and maybe before we go to sleep at night, but not really infuse our life with prayer. And our challenge is over the next bit, I'm hoping 40 days will lead to many more, that we just collectively commit to really infusing our life with prayer. And we're going to do a lot of talking about prayer, as John says. We're really going to remind ourselves, convict ourselves of it. But this morning, there may be a specific prayer that you need to be asked for your sake from the collective, from the body of Christ, that you want to begin tomorrow, 2018, in a different place than you end 2017. Perhaps it was like that decision I made back in 1975, that today is the day that you want to become a child of God. Be buried with him in baptism. You'll always remember this date for the rest of your life. Or perhaps today's the day that you just need to say, I need your help, God. I need your influence in my life. I need your hand on me in 2018. We've got this time in which we're going to offer an invitation song. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing the song? So let's